Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Nancy C. and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Today is Friday, January 24th, and we are reading from the big book, and we are on page 74, the first paragraph, starting with the sentence, if we cannot or would rather not, through the end of that one paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, Team Friday. We have Tamara C. reading the text, Benita L. Reading page 164, Nancy R. standing at the ready as our backup, and reading a newcomer greeter is Tony B., announcements Kathy S., and our host for the second hour is Leah S. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. And I forgot to give you a couple of share IDs first, but the reference numbers for yesterday's meeting, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 22,106. That's 22106. And for the 10 a.m. meeting is 220107. So Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through their shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Hanayeta R. to read the 12 steps for us. Hanayeta.
Good morning. Thank you, Nancy, for your service. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made directions to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeater and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. From Texas. And Anita L., will you please read the 12 traditions?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, living in the solution for today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a beautiful day, everybody, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita L. from Pennsylvania. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over that, you'll hear me say gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose helps, reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except for the speaker, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 74, the first paragraph, starting with, if we cannot or would rather not do this, and I'll ask Tamara C. to please read for us and lead us off. Tamara, you have the floor.
Thanks, Nancy. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. It says, if we cannot or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a close-mouthed, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of our own family. But we cannot disclose anything to our wives or our parents which will hurt them and make them unhappy. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand, yet be unaffected. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. This is instruction for how to find the right person to give our inventory to share our inventory with. And we're so blessed that we do not have to search very far. On this meeting, there is an abundance of recovered, experienced sponsors who have been through this and are able to be that understanding but unaffected witness. My sponsor, she is unaffected because she's not close to the situations that I'm telling her about personally, but she has experience, her own experience. So she can give me help with that. But what does my sponsor understand? She understands that this is life and death for me, that learning how to do this inventory is something that I'm going to practice every day for the rest of my life. And it is vital. It's life and death, because if I don't get this spiritual awakening that comes as a result of working all of the steps, then I'm going to eat again, and that's going to kill me. So she knows that it's not, she's not going to just commiserate with me. She's going to give me love and gentleness and honest reflection and honest feedback, whether I like it or not, because it's important for me to uncover the truth about myself. This thing about no right to save my own skin at another person's expense. So it's not just about who will I tell my inventory to, but, am I just checking off a box to get a self-centered result? And my truth is, yes, I did my fourth step and fifth step because I wanted to live, and I knew that if I wanted to live, I had to do this. So that's self-centered. But as I'm growing in this program, I am learning to consider the well-being of other people, and that includes my husband. I've hurt him for the sake of working my program. I've pushed him to the side because I need to take this call or get on this meeting. And I'm learning as I grow spiritually, I the focus is less on my self-centeredness and my perfectionism and shame, and more on seeing what the other person needs as well. So I'm just grateful for this whole process. And that's all I'm going to share. Thanks for letting me share. Bye, Pat.
Perfect timing, Tamara C. Thanks for kicking us off. And Tamara's from Missouri. So now we're going to take a list of names for people to be able to share on what was read. But let me remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have an opportunity to share too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, please step back and let others have an opportunity to share. So who would like to share this morning?
Harlan K.
Harlan.
Dara F.
Dara F.
Melissa C.
Melissa.
Nancy P.
Nancy P.
Rowena.
Rowena. Anyone want to get in on this lineup? I heard Harlan G, Dara F, Melissa C, Nancy P, and Rowena. We'll get your last initial and where you're from later.
Mary Claire C.
Mary Claire. All right, let's start with that lineup, and then we'll have plenty of time to take other names. Harlan, please take the mic. Harlan G. from Arizona.
Thank you very much, Nancy, for your service. I don't know what all this yelling about is. It's going to be 70 degrees here today. I don't know what people are complaining about. But anyway, I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. It is very, very vital I find someone immediately to do the fifth step with. Delay in this program is denial of the fact that I need this, and I need this to move along quickly, and this is part of what I always say is I have to work this like my hair's on fire, and this is not a program for people who need it. It's not a program for people who want it. It's a program for people who do it, and this is part of doing it. So someone who is knowledgeable about what I'm doing, yet they will be unaffected. Now, I'm going to depart from talking about the paragraph because the paragraph is very straightforward, and so I'm going to break the rules, but today is January the 24th. This is a very special day in our lives, even though we may not know it. This is the date in 1971 when Bill Wilson died. Well, Bill Wilson really never did die. Bill Wilson is alive today, as he will be 20,000 generations from today. The work that he did will stretch out into eternity, and the Time magazine named Bill Wilson one of the 20th century's most influential people. He was the greatest social architect of his time, and on this date, January the 24th, 1918, he married Lois Burnham, and Lois and Bill together will change the world that they were born into. Bill Wilson will, together with Dr. Bob, found Alcoholics Anonymous. Hank Parkhurst was actually much more influential in early AA than was Dr. Bob, but we count Dr. Bob as a co-founder, so we'll let that stand. And Lois Burnham Wilson, will, in 1950, with Ann Bingham, found Al-Anon Family Groups, Alateen, all sprung from her work, and she died in 1988. But this January 24th is a pivotal date because Bill Wilson died on it, supposedly. He's alive today, but okay. And January 24th, 1918, he will marry Lois Burnham, and together they will change the world. God will use these people to change the world. I hope I didn't hack anybody off by breaking the rules and talking about the Wilsons, but I'm sorry about that if I did. And I wish everybody a great day. Thanks, Nancy, for your service. And on that note, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. Next up, we have Dara F. And Dara, if you could tell us where you are calling from. You have the floor.
Hi, this is Dara F. calling from Manassas, Virginia, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And I was thinking one of the lines that I take from this paragraph that I try and incorporate into my program is we always try to be hard on ourselves and gentle on other people. And that is completely contrary to how my modus operandi before program. I think I used to be a combination of overly hard and overly soft on myself. But I was always, almost always, hard on everybody else. And yesterday, I was in a doctor's office, and I had spent like 45 minutes filling out paperwork at home that they had asked me to fill out. And I sat down and she said, "What medications are you on?" And I said, "Come on, give me a break. I just put all my medications, the days I started, I just went on and on about that." And I didn't go on and on, but I said it. And I said it in a very impatient tone of voice. And I thought about it. And she printed out my list and fixed it and stuff like that. She said, "We don't usually look at the We only look at new patient paperwork." And I was thinking, why the hell did you make me do all that paperwork if you weren't even going to look at it? And I kept my mouth shut. I apologized. I took a deep breath, and I just thought, okay, am I really going to go off on this nurse thinking that she is, you know, totally incompetent because she didn't do what I thought she should do? And I thought about that, and it's like, be hard on ourselves and be gentle on everybody else. And it made me angry, but I really took a deep breath and I sat back, and I didn't go for the difficult client, and I let it be and I let it go. And I did put it on my 11th step list last night when I did that. But at any rate, kind to others, hard on ourselves is something I really try and implement in my program. And thanks for letting me share. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dara F. from Virginia. And next up, we have Melissa C. from New York. Melissa, please share with us.
Hey, good morning, Nancy. Thanks so much for your service. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this and I think, I didn't want to be hard on myself. You know, like I had this whole story when I came here about I was this great victim, you know, and that life was really unfair to me. And I was like, you know, I think, and I can still go there, right? I mean, I don't want to say like I'm somehow like a better human today, but I feel like I've made tremendous gains here in that I don't walk around in a lot of self-pity anymore. And I used to walk around like that, and I felt like I needed everyone to be extra gentle and let me get a free pass because life has been so unfair, you know. And that avails me nothing. That gets me nowhere. That is definitely not a way to have a transformation. And this entire process, you know, these 12 steps are about bringing me in a relationship with a power greater than myself. And that in order for me to have this relationship with this power, I need to change, you know. And so I can't change unless I'm somewhat hard on myself, unless I'm looking, not in a way to like tear myself down like I'm a piece of garbage or a piece of crap, but how am I going to make any improvement unless I'm rigorously honest about what it is in me that needs to be improved? And if I, you know, if my inventory was too heavily, and I had inventories that were like this, that were too heavily focused on the wrongdoing of others and never looked at myself, well, how am I going to change? How is that going to change? Because I can't change other people, you know, and if my happiness is going to be dependent on the rest of the world changing, well, I'm in greater bondage than I ever was to the food, because now I'm in bondage to humans. And, you know, step five for me has been all about an experience in humility. And that humility means, you know, an honest admission of who and what I am and a sincere desire to be better. And so today, you know, I do 10 steps and I do make amends and I am hard on myself because I want to live in the sunlight of the spirit, you know, and I'm the thing that puts the shade between me and God, you know, between the sunlight. And so I have a responsibility to look at myself critically. And I have people who understand and are unaffected. They understand what it is I'm looking for, and they're unaffected in that, you know, I don't go to the people who are directly impacted by my inventory. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. And next up, we have Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Nancy, take the mic.
Hey, good morning, Nancy. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. I mean, of course I would rather not have done this because I didn't want to do anything. What I wanted was to eat and be thin. That's what I wanted. And so finally, you know, I go get this sponsor, excuse me, who is not my friend. She's not my friend. She's not very nice in general, I mean, at least to me, but she was a kick-ass sponsor, and she knew this book inside out. And I didn't know how to be honest. I didn't know how to be hard on myself. I didn't know any of that. All I did was what I was told, immediately and as hard as I could, whether I wanted to or not. And I got better. And she, her, in this particular spot, what she did was she deflated all the balloons. She didn't pop them. She just let the air out so that I wasn't, you know, trying to fight my way through a bunch of balloons in a room that I couldn't get around and they kept popping back up and getting in my way and all that. She took all the air out of the balloon so I could see where I was going and forge a path forward. And, you know, as I, with my own sponsees, I remind them that still at this step, I have more in front of me than I do behind me. So I'm getting there, but I'm not there and yet, but I will get there if I keep moving. You know, I didn't know if I was being hard on myself or easy on myself. I had to be told that's not something that you need to worry about or you need to dig into that a little bit deeper. Only she never said it in any nice, gentle way. She used to ask me, who do you think you are? Who the F do you think you are? That's what she would say to me. And, you know, that I responded to that. Maybe most people wouldn't or some people wouldn't, but I did because I have people in my life that nurture me and tell me, you know, what, excuse me, one door closes, another one opens and all that. This sponsor was, you know, sort of osso buco, you know, close to the bone. She didn't care how I felt. Her job, and that's what I wanted, that's what I needed, was to tell me how to get better. And I'm incapable of doing that myself, even still today. You know, my one of my most effective tools that I do, that I use, is to seek counsel from others because look where my thinking ever got me. So, you know, I will say that, you know, she was unaffected by my life and I thought my life was very tragic. I had this big catastrophe in my hands with my family and I was so afraid. I was afraid I was going to die. I was afraid my die. I was afraid my marriage was going to end. I mean, I don't think any of that, well, certainly not my marriage or me or I guess none of it was really a thing, but I was that afraid. And she deflated all those balloons so that I could move forward with the next part of my recovery. And, you know, it all starts with one thing. And, you know, when I was, I'll wrap up with this. When I was at the birthday party, I was talking to some people at dinner and I said, you know, the reason that surrender is so difficult is it's because the only thing that I have done by myself. Everything else, I have help, but that's the only thing that I had to do alone, and nobody could do it for me. So I'm so grateful today that I have done that, and I work on it every day, and with that, I'll pass.
Nancy P. from Massachusetts, and we're going to call up Rowena next. And Rowena, before you take the floor, let me just remind people who might have gotten on a little late that we are on page 74, the first full paragraph in the big book, starting with, if we cannot or would rather not do this. After Rowena, it will be Mary Claire C., and then we'll take another list of names. So, Rowena, if you can give me the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, you can have the floor.
Hi, it's Rowena V. Thanks so much. I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's really good to be on the meeting today. It's always good to be able to get into the lineup without having to try too hard. This paragraph reminds me of my first sponsor, well, no, my first step four. And when I read it to her, she fell asleep. And I don't know. I mean, I laugh about it now, but at the time, I mean, I didn't know what to do, so I just carried on reading my step four, even though she was asleep. But since then, I've done step fours with other people, and they've been awake, so that's been really good. So I think it is important to have somebody who at least knows the program and is abstinent. And I think it's a lot easier to do that today, and because I think back in the day, well, when this was written, it was probably quite hard to get a sponsor. I mean, compared to what it's like now. And I think it's so important because step four is so important because that's where I learn what my defects of character are. And if I'm not comfortable talking about them, I'm not really going to be honest with the person. And for me, the step forward, well, for everybody, I guess, is that it teaches me what it is that I need to work on. And for me, that is about learning to rely. I mean, to me, it's all about learning to rely on my higher power for my sense of ease and comfort, because all of my resentments are based in the fear of, you know, needing to be in control and being a victim and being a people pleaser and needing other people's approval. And if I don't know those are my defects, I'm not going to ask for them to be removed. And if I don't ask for them to be removed, I won't reach out to my higher power, because that's, you know, who removes them. And I'll just never get the spiritual awakening. So I'm really grateful to be able to be on this journey, even though sometimes it feels like it doesn't feel that good. But then the days when, you know, things, when I feel progress and when I feel growth, it's amazing. And my sponsor just reminds me that, you know, moods are just moods, and they pass. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Rowena. And I didn't catch where you were from. Where are you from again?
I'm in the UK.
The UK? Thank you. That's Rowena V from the UK. Thank you. And next up, we have Mary Claire C. And Mary Claire, if you could tell us where you're calling from, that would be fab.
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yes. Hi, I'm Mary Claire C. from New Jersey. Thank you, Nancy, for facilitating this big book study. I'm new to A Vision for You. I have around 40 days in the program and 39 days of abstinence. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to be on the fourth step. And also to have taken the first three steps rigorously. I too would like to live in the sunlight of the spirit. And I'm so grateful for my friend and sponsor who's guiding me throughout this journey, because I am on a journey of miracles. I'm looking for a miracle. And I think it's very serendipitous that I'm taking these steps at this time in my life, despite the fact that I was raised in a 12-step household. And I had a biopsy yesterday, and I'm awaiting the results. But because I took these first three steps, it's really easy for me to look at my relationship with God that is outlined in the big book, and how I can turn over my will and my life to his care, because he is my creator, and I am his child. I've been learning about that from various meetings and workshops and readings in the big book. And I'm just so grateful for the program. I'm very willing to learn, and I'm grateful for this spiritual experience. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Mary Claire C., and welcome from New Jersey. And so we're going to take another lineup here, and I'll remind you that although we value your opinion, if you have shared on Thursday or Friday of this week, please step back and let others share and be heard. And we are on page 74 in the big book, the first full paragraph. So who else would like to share on this?
Leah S.
Tony B.
Leah S. Tony B.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Arian K.
Arian K.
Anita L.
Anita L. All right, I've heard Leah S., Tony B., Christina J., Darian K., and Benita L. Anyone else want to join in this group? And then if you're not Leah S., please press star 1 to mute yourself. And Leah, you have the floor. And where are you calling from, Leah?
Thank you so much, Nancy. My name is Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So I didn't really want to do any of the steps, especially step 5. Step 5 is where I had to become humble and actually really disclose stuff. And what step 5 did to me was that it made me humble. And also, I was told that don't go into everything. Just if you come into a situation where that bothers you, then I know it's something you want to give over to another person, that it happened in your life and it still bothers you and you got to give it over. And that's, I didn't understand what give it over means, but it was like sort of a putting down of my burdens and of my worries and of my everything that it just, you know, it didn't give me a solution, but it felt like, wow, now I understand how you stay stopped. I don't want to pick up again. I don't want to, I don't want to do this again, this yo-yo thing again. I'm going to be on a diet. No, I can hardly wait to get off my diet. What is this? This is a way of life. This is a way that is teaching me how to live my life and get along with relationships that I have. Oh, my goodness. Step 5 is a phenomenal step. Each step is so, so beautiful. I pass.
Thank you, Liz, from New York. And Tony B. from Scotland, you have the floor.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. It's so great to be on this line, and it's so awesome, and just felt so amazing to meet some of you last weekend. It was such a blessing indeed. So this paragraph, I look back just to the end of the last one. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. Well, it's one alcoholic that understands another alcoholic. So, you know, I just think it needs to be another compulsive overeater, another recovered compulsive overeater who hears this. I suppose this was another time when this was written. But really, we understand one another. And I feel so blessed that, you know, as I continue the work and do my 10th steps, I've got a multitude of people that I can tell some, you know, and I can tell someone who will understand yet be unaffected. And it's important for me not to think that I can chew things over with my husband, for example. And that kind of takes me back to this bit, maybe one of our family, but we can't disclose anything to our wives or parents which will hurt them and make them unhappy. You know, I've no right to save my own skin at another person's expense. If it's a personal thing, it's much better if I do a 10th step and take it to another recovered compulsive overeater who will be understanding and unaffected and hard on myself and considerate of others. Yeah, I think that reminds me of bless them, change me, bless them, heal me. So while I've got a resentment or a fear, you know, it's important that I look at my part and not project onto anybody else and keep that bit of what they've done to me very short and just look for my part. That's the hard on myself. And as people have mentioned, that rigorous honesty. Thank you for letting me share. Love you all, and I pass.
Nancy, you there? Anyone there?
You can be heard.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. I'll go ahead and start. It's Christina J. in North Carolina. Oh my. Why do we do this? What the hell is this about? You know, I walked around for years with sort of this place inside of myself that was full of all kinds of wounds and pain and anxiety and all kinds of stuff. And I walked around uncomfortable, and I didn't know why. And food was my friend, and it made me feel comfort, and then it made me feel horrible, but then I had to eat it again, and so on and so forth. So Harlan kind of mentioned we must do this quickly, and yes, we must do this quickly, because once we lay out that fourth step and we see even more stuff about ourselves that you might feel ashamed about, understand like how you were selfish, self-centered, dishonest. Now, we can all understand fearful, but these other things, wow, what a shithole of a person I am. So it's important that we get this down with an understanding, neutral person. We speak this out because we must lift the lid off of the vat of the BS, the wounds, the pain, and everything else in our lives, and air it out. And if we I couldn't even imagine going to someone that I, my parents or my husband or anybody like that. That just was not an option. But once I got it down on the paper in the fourth step, my very first time through, my sponsor had said to me, I got to go out of town for an extra week, and you're going to want to eat because you're going to have all this stuff down, she said. So make calls. And in fact, I did want to eat. But I got it out finally. It was an arduous, hard process. But since then, I have come to know that I must do this on a daily basis. To get this out and to share it with someone I can trust. See, that's the thing. I can trust that won't share my story, that won't, you know, and I'm not ashamed of all this stuff anymore. That's the interesting thing. So once we get it out, we look at it, we realize we were wounded and hurt, and we were going around life the best we could, right? So this is a beautiful step. And like I said the other day, if you're scared, do it scared, because we have to do it if we want to recover. I mean, absolutely. I can't tell you what you must do, but I had to do this to find the journey to recovery, to free myself of myself and to find the higher path with something bigger than myself that could forgive me every day for my BS that continues to come up. And that's why I'm going to tell you that the 10th and the 11th are so crucial. You do those every day and you continue to discover little bits and pieces of stuff. You know, don't blow it off. I blew it off for years and went into relapse after relapse with my uncomfortableness. So fifth step is wonderful, and this paragraph is definitely talking about sharing it with someone you can trust and going into it and letting yourself take the first step towards freedom of that inner stuff that is hidden behind and underneath the food that is now probably coming up because you're not eating. So anyway, I'm rambling. Thank you for letting me share, and I hope I help someone. I pass.
Hey, thanks, Christina J. from North Carolina, and sorry I had muted myself the last time. Next up, we have Darian K. from Berkshires, but I don't know where those are. Darian, you got the floor.
Thank you. Hi, Nancy. It's Darian K. The Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. Just so grateful to be on the line with all of you. Boy, I'm just nodding my head. As I walk around making my breakfast, doing my stuff for the morning, just nodding my head to everything that everyone has said. It's just great, great shares. And I don't know that I can add anything different. You know, I just know that before program, and even now, a lot of times, you know, I'm a comfort seeker. I want to seek comfort. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want people to not approve of me. I don't want people to not see me as perfect. And I know that that is not good, but that's like, that's in my DNA for some reason. And so doing this step, giving it away to somebody and being vulnerable and raw is, you know, can be a scary proposition. But I've been in the program a long time and I've given away many. And I can only say that every time I did, it was a really good experience. Some were better than others, but the person that I gave it to was kind and gentle and just gave freely of their time and energy. So long. I mean, I remember the very first one I gave, I think I sat we were going to go to a meeting that was in a hospital, and we sat in the cafeteria thinking, okay, we'll get together an hour or so before the meeting. And we kept talking hours after the meeting, so we never even got into the meeting. And I just was blown away by the amount of time that she was willing to give me to listen to, you know, what I had to say. I really think that was the very first time in my life that anyone really gave me all that time, and for free, right? For free. And she also shared with me her way. She made me feel so much more comfortable, you know, that I wasn't alone. And that's why this program's so beautiful. We come in right away. We feel like we're one of, you know, of many in regard to our compulsive overeating. And then it continues when we do this kind of, you know, action step where we give our fourth step away to somebody. And it's only by the grace of God that I, you know, that I'm willing, you know, that I have the willingness to do this. Because like I said, uncomfortableness, no, don't want to be uncomfortable. But it's important for me to grow. And I've heard that if you don't grow, you go, right? There's just so many different things that people say that I remember. And
it's
just important. Thank you. It's important to do, no matter really how you feel about it. But in the end, it's cathartic and it's beautiful and you will feel relieved. And so I pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Darian K. from Massachusetts. And next up, we have Vanita L. And after Vanita, we'll be able to take a couple more names. Vanita, please tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, everybody. This is Vanita L., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And thank you, Harlan, for informing me about this day that we can honor. And yeah, it is amazing to me to think how those few people back then, especially the two you mentioned, Bill Wilson and Lois, because I'm in multiple programs, and how they've affected my life and my family's life. And yeah, and all they did was follow what they felt like step by step by step, right? They had no idea what a major impact this was going to be. It was so revolutionary. And I guess as far as what we're talking about, it, you know, learning to turn towards themselves, right? And start cleaning up their own lives and dealing with these disastrous addictions. And yeah, it's so beautiful. So thank you again for that. And yeah, I have to me, the way I would say it is I have to take a very high level of responsibility for my life, but also not be overly responsible, which I can also do, like try to take responsibility for a lot of stuff. And this reading today is helpful for me because I need to sit down and do a 10-step because over the weekend something happened that I'm realizing really didn't sit well with me. And so it's interesting we're talking about this today where I can process that event through this lens and decide if there's action I need to take or not. So, like I said, I like to take a high level of responsibility for myself and I definitely need to be more forgiving with people because my perfectionism, which is one of my shortcomings as a result of this disease, I can be way too hard on myself and also too hard on other people. So we are all loved. The divine loves all of us. Okay, thanks.
Hey, thank you, Vanita L. from Georgia. And we have time for two or three more shares. Who would like to jump on the line?
Cindy from New Jersey.
Kim A.
Erin K.
Hey, I got Kim, Erin, and Cindy. Let's go with that. We have Cindy S. from New Jersey. Cindy, you have the floor.
Thank you very much for your service this morning in the reading. And my take on this, the rule is always be hard on yourself and considerate of others. And the woman that spent an incredible amount of time helping me learn to do my big book process, she was the most deserving person to hear it because she went before me. She understood how powerful this disease was. I'm a double winner. And, you know, when I lived in Massachusetts and she lived in Brookline, and she said, listen, we're going to meet in the Burlington Mall and you're going to read. That's what I had to do. I had to put a value on another person and trust and rely that God was doing for me what I could never do for myself. And I wasn't looking for sympathy. I was looking for an understanding from this woman how this disease would take me out. And, you know, I was so hard on myself, but I had to realize the whole process of doing this was learn how to have a better way of life. And I was seeking that in so many different ways. And, of course, with the food. And then I picked up this, and then I picked up that. And I, too, had a lot of trauma in my marriage and in my childhood. But you know what? It was a place to put it down on paper with God and to take that quiet time and to say that third-step prayer. And, you know, as a continuation today, I can do my 10th, 11th, and share it with another woman that is broken. And it's a gift that just keeps on giving because it's a blueprint for me to live today. Yes, I have to be abstinent. I have to have a relationship with God. But most importantly, I just don't do this once and put it on the shelf. I have, with the grace of God, regardless of what goes on in my life, I have a solution. And that's what I love about this program, and that's what I love about the fellowship. I can't get this from my family. I can't get it from a doctor. I can't get it from a psychiatrist. And I remember going to a psychiatrist, and she said, well, why are we going to end? And I said, listen, you've helped me. You need help somebody else. She said, did your program tell you not to come here anymore? I said, no, my program gives me a solution, and I'm grateful for that. And that's what I used to do. I used to really drain people with all my woes in life. Like, you don't understand. I had that gift of desperation. But you know what? In this program, God has given me the gift of a solution.
Gentle reminder.
So this program. Thank you so much for your service, and have a great day.
Thank you, Cindy S. from New Jersey. And Kim A. and Aaron K., if you each could take 2 minutes, that would be great. We'll get you both in. Kim A., you have the floor.
Thanks. This is Kim A. from New York City. Understanding the purpose of the fourth step is what makes it really work. At least it did for me. You know, it always had this big black cloud over it. Because before I really understood the purpose of it, I thought it was about, you know, reliving the traumas and, you know, detailing basically all of the reasons that I sucked is kind of how I felt about it. But when I got a sponsor to really help me understand through the steps in the big book what it's for, it's just an objective fact-finding true inventory. And if I can get that stuff down on paper, then my sponsor can help me see in that last column the truth in my thinking, that when I'm resentful, when I'm full of self-pity, when I'm fearful, when I'm causing harm, it's because I'm acting out on my instincts. It's not for any reason outside of myself. And it's not because it's not because I suck. It's because I have this illness. And so these are the reasons that I eat. I ate because I was perpetually uncomfortable. And I was perpetually uncomfortable from living in all this resentment, self-pity, blah, 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 which was the result of my flawed thinking, right? My perceptions were really off. So if I can get down to those causes and conditions, my sponsor can help me see the truth in my thinking, because I'm not going to eat over the truth, right? I'm going to eat over the lies in my head. So if I can get rid of all of those lies in my head, or if my higher power can get rid of them, because I'm powerless over my attitudes and perceptions, right? Just like I'm powerless over my food. If that could be removed, and I could go out and I could clean up this wreckage, and I can live my life actively in the steps by sending 10 steps throughout my day and carrying this message, then I don't need to go to food. For me, I don't need a food plan. I don't need to avoid any foods. That wasn't the problem to begin with. That was the symptom of my messed up thinking.
Kim A. from New York City. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim A. from New York. And Erin K., can you take us out in 2 minutes or less?
I think so, Nancy. Good morning. Thank you, Erin K., compulsive overeater in Michigan. This paragraph, it kind of, you know, it's telling me what I should be as a sponsor when I sponsor, and as a fellow when I'm taking inventory or a 10th step, and that's compassionate and keeping confidence, you know, closed-mouthed, and also lovingly detached, you know, from this whatever situation that's being shared. And I think, you know, we as addicts, we have unique perspective, but I found that it's more useful for me to share my own experience, you know, in a sort of a self-referential way than to point out to someone and kind of tell someone about themselves. Because it's not my job to be hard on the sponsee or the fellow who's sharing inventory, but to be honest in a kind way that frankly encourages them to be maybe a bit harder on themselves at times. Because, I mean, if you point a finger, you know, I think it risks really harming that person and their path to recovery, because, you know, you might say, wow, you're pretty arrogant, but usually it's like we're bringing deep shame that's covered in a veneer of arrogance. And you can say, you know, dang, you're pretty selfish, but, you know, we bring deep fear that we've, you know, for a lifetime covered in a veneer of selfishness and self-seeking. And those deep, icky things, you know, I certainly had all of them, you know, brought to the table, and sharing them, it was like it lanced the boil in the fifth step. And I'm just was grateful I did that with somebody who was loving and kind and shared their own experience. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Erin K. from Michigan. And thank you to everyone who shared and participated in the meeting today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing of this meeting. And the share ID for today, Friday, January 24th, is 22,109. That's 22,109. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Vanita L. please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, she will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to us and to you. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great efforts will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.